Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Here we are. Another beautiful day in Philadelphia. We're happy about the Eagles. We're mad about the Sixers. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Ah, Spike. Jackie Baseball, great weekend. Holla at your boy.
We'll get to the Sixers in a second.
What? Great weekend for me.
Yeah.
Great weekend for Jack.
Not a great weekend for me.
Not a great weekend for you.
L.
No L's yet. We're not done yet. Don't worry. I'm going to fire blame around all over. You stop. We'll get to the Sixers in a second. But
yes.
First, we have a football team right here in Philadelphia that is being praised nationally for having the best draft in the NFL. Ike, did you feel the same way?
Yes. I mean, quite frankly, I mean, other than, I guess, maybe you could look at Chicago. They got their franchise quarterback and then turned around and drafted Rome Odunziel. They had a pretty decent draft this weekend. Other than that, man, I'm just looking at what the Eagles did from a need position, from a priority standpoint, and the value in which they got some of these players this weekend. That it's hard to find an organization out there that did much better to bolster their chances of winning a championship in the foreseeable future. Now, I'm not going to listen. I'll tell you, most things that impact the following year or the upcoming year's results is either done through retaining your own players in free agency or what type of free agents you brought in. I always feel that draft picks are like the icing on the cake. You know, if you get one or two, if you get a Jalen Carter in your rookie class that contributes as much as he did, that's a huge plus. So I'm not going to sit here and say all these guys make the Eagles a Super Bowl contending team. What I will say is I like the fact that they addressed areas of need. They got young talent in the secondary. They got versatile talent on the defensive side of the football. Hell, they even eventually addressed the offensive side of the football, where they brought in some more skill position guys at the running back position and the wide receiver position, as well as getting a couple of linemen, whether it was through the draft late or the reported signing of Mikael Becton, the former first-round top 10 draft pick of the Jets. They addressed a lot of needs this weekend. Howie Roseman, 5 stars, my brother. 5 stars for Howie Roseman and the job that he did. And quite frankly, the jewel of the class and all I really care about outside of getting Cooper DeJean in the second round. How about Howie moving up to get Cooper DeJean? Not that he fell to him, so he had no choice but to take him. They targeted Cooper DeJean, and they went up and got him in the first round, I mean the second round with the 40th pick. But come on, man. Nephew is an Eagle now. Come on, man.
You look so proud.
The house was high-fiving and jumping up and down Saturday afternoon, man, when the name was finally called. Jeremiah Trotter Jr. with the 155th pick in the 2024 draft. The Eagles selected him. Awesome moment. awesome moment for that Trotter family. He's going to be joining us with his dad a little bit later in the show at 4 o'clock. But obviously, when somebody that I've known as long as I've known Jeremiah, we both drafted together in 1998. So I know his family very well. Babysat his kids. They babysat my kids. His wonderful deceased wife, Tammy Trotter, who passed away a year ago with breast cancer. Like, I'm happy for that family. I know how excited they were to finally hear his name called. I don't know if they ever imagined his name would be called by his dad's former team. So he gets to wear that uniform, and it just made it even better that it was the Philadelphia Eagles that drafted him. But the fact that he got drafted was awesome. He's going to be an Eagle. So that's obviously a huge story coming out of the weekend as well.
A little bit warmer welcome for Trot Jr. than there was for me. But we'll talk about that a different time.
The son following in the dad's footsteps.
Not really the same.
It wasn't received the same here.
Not really the same way. What did you think of the draft? 215-592-9494. These guys will either be good or they won't. We will find out how they are. I think looking at the process of it and, you know, going back, watching YouTube, learning about the guys, I'm optimistic as everybody else. I do think that we probably need to pump the brakes a little bit on how great the draft was based on what the media is saying about how great the draft was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think a lot of the praise is coming because there are players that are now on the Eagles who most media boards had these guys hire. But I think what we are told about the actual process of the draft and what actually happened is the teams did not have those guys as high as maybe the media did, talking about Cooper DeJean specifically, mm-hmm. Talking about Mitchell specifically, and then they take a chance on Jalix Hunt, mm-hmm. you know, who looks like a bit of a project. I watched all the guys. I have my favorites. It feels good to me, but I'm not quite at the place where I feel as confident as everyone else is that this is as good as everyone says it is. Now, this is the time for optimism.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I'm not going to be negative about it, but I'm just a little more apprehensive than I think everybody else is that this was such a home run.
Yeah, listen, we'll find out how much of a knock it out of the park type of draft it was overall. Time will tell.
Yep.
When it comes to that. But you're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, at least 5 potential starters in this draft within the next 2 years. Yeah, at least 5. You look at both corners that were drafted, and Cooper DeJean just being a defensive back, whether he's a corner or safety or whatever, within the next 2 years, he's going to be a starter. We'll see what Jalix Hunt is going to be. And I understand the questions with him. I'm not going to sit here and act as if I know anything about Jalix Hunt. I don't. I never heard of him prior to the Eagles drafting him. So we'll see what he turns out to be. Will Shipley, you know, in 2 years, when Saquon may be on his way out of here, Shipley, a former 5-star recruit as a running back coming out of high school, could be your starting tailback in today's type of an offense. And quite frankly, it's only a matter of when, not if when Axeman Jr. is a starter at linebacker. It's a matter of when, not if.
And by the way, Shipley, you know, Saquon's missed games a bunch.
Sure.
You know, so
yeah.
Shipley could be something this year. So we'll find out. What do you think of the draft? 215-592-9494. But now we get to the more depressing part of the show,
weekend. Yes.
Of the weekend. And that was a crushing loss yesterday from our Philadelphia 76ers against the Knicks. They go down 3-1. And most of what I've heard today on the radio station from hosts and callers alike is crushing Embiid. That this is a condemnation of Joel Embiid. See, we told you. He wouldn't come through. He only had 1 point in the fourth quarter. See, we told you. And I am here to tell you that it is not last night, yesterday, and them being down 3-1, this is not Joel Embiid's failure. This is everyone around Joel Embiid who failed him. You know, Daryl Morey has failed Joel Embiid. Nick Nurse has failed Joel Embiid. The other players on the team have failed Joel Embiid. Here's what I've watched through this series. I watched game one, the Knicks superstar, Jalen Brunson, shoot like 7 for 28. And yet somehow, some way, two role players out of nowhere, you know, Josh Hart and Dante DiVincenzo come through and they win the game, right? And no one says a word about Jalen Brunson shooting 20% from the field. Game two, Jalen Brunson shoots 7 for 29, but Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, the rest of the team comes through, pulls it through, gets him to the end.
Yeah.
Game three, Embiid scores 50 points, but we do get one contribution from a role player in campaign that helps get the game over the top. And then yesterday, in the fourth, it has been so bad with him off the court, and it was so bad for 2 minutes yesterday in the first half that they could not sit him. Game one, the game was lost in the 3 minutes he wasn't on the court at the end of the second quarter. Game two was lost because Tyrese Maxey doesn't call timeout. Kyle Lowry doesn't call timeout. Nick Nurse doesn't call timeout. And then yesterday is such a failure on Maxey and Nurse specifically, that this guy is dragging ass because he's played the entire second half, because no one can dream of them staying in the game without him on there, and they need one guy to organize the offense and they can't do it. And they can't get him an entry. He fouls out Isaiah Hartenstein, and then they can't get him an entry pass for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
They can't get him to him in the post. Every time he gets the ball, and he gets double and triple teamed because they have a bunch of 6'5 guys out there, there's no, people either miss shots or they stand there staring at their thumbs, and they all melted down. And it wasn't the best game Embiid's ever played yesterday, but aside from yesterday, he has been the best player on the court the entire series. And Morey failed.
Well, he wasn't the best player on the court.
Not yesterday. Not yesterday. Yeah, yesterday was Brunson for sure. You know, the Morey failed by his sole deadline acquisition being Buddy Hield, who can't even get on the court.
Talk to me.
You know, Nick Nurse.
Talk to me.
I'm sorry, man. Like I know that the personnel is the personnel, and I know that these guys have not played together very often, which, by the way, goes back to Morey. The starting point guard on this team is Kyle Lowry, who has played, 10 games with Joel Embiid, and we wonder why it's a mess at the end of the game. And then Nurse, I'm sorry, you just have to figure out a way to get the offense to not look as bad as it did for 15 straight minutes, where they don't score for 5 straight minutes, and everybody wants Embiid to fix everything. They have been, when he's been on the court, they've outscored the Knicks by 40 points, and when he's been off the court, the Knicks have outscored him by 43, and it is just he is not without blame in general, but this particular series is evidence of the failure of the players around him, it's evidence of the failure of the general manager, and it's evidence of the failure of the coach.
Yeah, I'll just sum it up. You said it perfectly. To me, this isn't about Joel Embiid and what he's not doing. I believe he's given us everything that he has. He just doesn't have much in the tank left in the game. And for those that would say, well, why don't you take him out of the game to give him a breather? Well, just go look at the plus minus when he's out of the game. So that could have easily been a 10-15-point loss if he's out of the game for anything longer than 2 to 3 minutes. So he almost has to be on the court, even if he's not being effective. I'll leave that at that as far as Joel Embiid goes. No, this goes to Daryl Morey. I'm blaming this on Daryl Morey. And you touched on it pretty much, so I won't repeat everything you said. It's really about the supporting cast. That's really what it's about. I mean, New York is winning this game because they have a supporting cast of role players that understand their role and know that that's the only way they're going to win. They're going to win by playing scrappy, tough, hard-nosed, tough mentally basketball, getting at their offensive rebounds, doing the extra effort stuff, because they aren't going to out-measurable you. They aren't the quickest. They aren't the most athletic. They don't have the biggest guy from an advantage. They're out there with a 6-foot guard who's possessing the basketball, by the way, 18 seconds out of every shot clock.
Every possession.
He's basically just dribbling around until he finds an open area. So I don't understand. It's these role players, and we can pick through them all we want to, but the bottom line is these role players aren't good enough. And quite frankly, while I love Kyle Lowry, and I don't know the particulars of the trades during that time, I would certainly swap him out with Pat Beverly. Not the biggest Pat Beverly fan, but we needed to find a way to keep the Morris twin here. I would just solve. Quite frankly, the Knicks are out-hustling us. They're out-working us. And Toby be damned. Soft as cotton. They all are. Like all these role players, the fact you can't play Buddy Hield because he's scared of his own shadow.
Campaign is the only guy on the team
that isn't
scared.
And he's got championship pedigree in him. Everybody else is pretty much afraid of the moment. The Knicks want the moment more. Their role players are playing scrappier than ours Yeah. As much of an offensive threat that Josh Hart was the first two and a half games of this series, he didn't do anything offensively yesterday. But guess what he did contribute? 18, 17 rebounds. How many offensive rebounds? How many second and third shots did he get his team? Like, that's the stuff that he did do. And we don't have those guys, man. I'm sorry. I don't think Embiid is the reason why we're down in this series. I don't think Maxey is the reason why we're down in this series. I just think our role players are getting their you-know-what's kicked every game by the role players of the Knicks, the bench players of the Knicks, and everything else. And quite frankly, like Nick Nurse as a coach, but brother, I'm not seeing where we have the advantage yet in the coaching department. Haven't really seen it yet.
I think I disagree with you on Maxey. Maxey yesterday would have been a good spot for him to carry them. Mm-hmm. And part of why they can't survive with that Embiid off the court is on Maxey. Like, it is an offensive issue when Embiid is off the court. But we
I
understand, by the way, the Morey thing, it's complicated. He walked into a complicated situation, and not every move has been bad, but it still is – stop it. It still is not good.
I got to give it to Morey, man. It's on him, man.
It's not good
enough. He traded away these players at the deadline.
Well, Marcus Morris, they should still have.
Yes.
Absolutely. I totally agree. 215-592-9494. Is it Embiid's fault or is it the people around him? What do you think of the Eagles draft this weekend? Widely regarded as the best in the NFL. 215-592-9494. Angelo in Pottstown. You're on WIP.
Hey, guys. Thanks for calling. And I think, Ike, this is my first time talking to you. You spoke to your father many times.
Well, that's spite.
So, in other case, in other words, thanks to the Sixers for ruining a great weekend based on the Eagles draft. But that's not why I called. I called to basically say, you know, for the past few years, a lot of complaints have been, well, we just don't have great coaching and we can't make it past the second round. Well, I'm here to tell you, I think we have a coach that's a lot better than our previous coach and probably the previous two coaches. I think it just comes down to players. These players don't have guts. They don't have the internal fortitude to win. They don't even have the internal fortitude to grab an offensive rebound and let the Knicks take 3-4 chances in possessions. I saw them go through midway in the fourth quarter when they could have pulled away, I think, that's my opinion, and had a decent lead. But their possessions were crap. Horrible passing, horrible turnovers, horrible choice of shooting. It's just this team doesn't look like they want it as much as the other team. And you know what? I'm a Villanova grad. I graduated in 1985. I love my former players, but, you know, they're not Villanova players anymore. They're on the Knicks team. I don't care who they are. They play really well. They play really well as a team, but they're New York Knicks players. I don't care. You know, I don't care about them. Loved them in 18, loved them in 16 when I was in New Hampshire, and it was great to have Philadelphia teams, including the Eagles, win championships while I was up there in New England land when everybody thought that, you know, their crap didn't stink and all their sports teams won the championships. But this Sixers team has shown us over and over again, year after year, that in the big game, they don't show up. And you know what? They're going to go to New York, probably win the game, then come back here or whenever it is, Thursday or Friday, and lose at home. Why? Because Embiid will score 1 point and get zero rebounds in the fourth quarter, and it's the same old, same old.
Right.
And that's why we don't go to the games.
All right. Thank you for the call, Angelo. The role players, or is it Embiid? I couldn't figure out. Jack, what do you think? Is Embiid or the rest of the team?
I mean, at some point, it's got to fall back on the big fella. I mean, he had 1 point in the fourth quarter. He did. He said two rebounds in the fourth quarter all series long. Like, we've gotten him Jimmy Butler. We had Ben Simmons. We had Brett Brown. We had Doc Rivers. And it all ends in the same exact spot.
He can't – listen, he's a big man. He's not a guard, right? So he's going to wear down the longer he's out there. We know this. This is the bed that we have to lay in. When you decide we're going to build your franchise around a 7'2", close to 300-pound man. That's just the reality of the situation. And if I can accept all his wonderful gifts from an offensive genius standpoint and the ability to score 30 to 35 points on any given night, He could do that and they still could lose. They could still lose.
Yeah,
he just doesn't have it all in him. We know from a health standpoint, if you're going to knock him for his health, I have no defense for that. It is what it is. But I'm telling you, he's given us everything he has from a physical standpoint out there. And if his load could be lightened by other guys stepping up and carrying some of the load, then maybe he has something left for you. He has to keep you in these games. He has to keep you in these games. We forget about that. It's not just to get to the fourth quarter and he should take over and score 15 points in the fourth quarter. Hell, how about the fact that you have a two-point lead or it's a three-point game and he's giving you 26, 27 points up to that point. Somebody else, man, the other guys have to be able to hit shots and create shots and get shots on their own. And that's why, damn it, as soon as this is over with, I'm locked in on Paul George this summer. I'm just letting you know that now.
Well, I'm not doing that yet.
Okay, I'm just saying.
They're not dead yet, according to Spike.
Not dead yet.
They aren't dead. They aren't dead just yet.
Yeah.
And don't let them win game five.
No, I'm being serious.
Actually, I'm not in the mood, but
I'm not doing it. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing the rally the troops thing.
Yeah.
But it is not a – they've been outscored by 3 points in the series. Game two – I'm not blaming it on the refs. It's not what I'm doing.
Could have easily gone the other way.
And game one could have easily gone the other way. Yeah. This is just not – it's not a series where I feel like they can't – that is what makes it so maddening. If they could buy 5 minutes with him on the off the court in the second half, they probably win the game. And that is on everybody else. And, you know, Angela was talking about effort. I don't know if it's an effort thing. I can tell you that they are – The scattered way that they are playing offense, just sort of like the confused look on everybody's faces, it screams not a lack of effort, but a lack of composure. And that is on the players. It's on – there's got to be somebody else on – you know, there's got to be somebody besides Embiid that's got to be able to, you know
– Yeah. How about the end of the game? Kyle Lowry misses a free throw on purpose, and I got Maxie –
And nobody knew.
Maxie and Oubre over there digging in their noses over there. Like, what are they doing over there?
Yeah.
What are they doing? I don't care if he didn't tell them. They should be looking to get the damn rebound. My goodness.
Just want to be happy today. Like, could they just win that friggin' game yesterday? That way we're happy about the friggin' Phillies. We're happy about the friggin' Eagles.
Yes.
And now we've got to go
damn
down
Sixers,
3-1.
Man. Yes.
I got to fight about Joel Embiid for four. They're going to fight with him for three. Fight about him for 3 months. I got to defend Daryl Morey. Just for my sake, could you just win the stupid series? Just wake up.
Swallow it.
I've been doing this. This is enough out of you and the clips.
Hold on. Swallow it. Hold on, bro.
Yeah. That is out of line.
That's totally out of line.
You're
right
out
there.
Of line. Out of line. 215-592-9494. What'd you think of the draft? Is it on Embiid? Is it on everyone else? Coming up next, one thing that did happen this weekend with the Eagles. Eagles got a bunch of new players, but Howie Roseman got a new nickname. We will introduce that to you next on the afternoon show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It happened last night. I've been warning you about it, but it happened to me last night. Laying in bed, felt, oh no, it's a little warm. So I opened up the window, thought it might get cooler.
Glad you cleaned that up.
Yeah, well, what did you think I was going to say?
I don't know.
All right. I was laying in bed. You know, I opened the window. Maybe it'll get cooler. It wasn't enough. Closed the window, turned on the AC. You start turning on the AC, that's when your electric bills start going up. But that is when your windows become really, really important to keep that cool air in. You've been thinking about replacing those drafty windows. You haven't done it because of price, because it's inconvenient. That's why you got to go Gaida. They're going to take care of everything for you. They're going to make sure it's cheaper, and they're going to make sure that everything is done right. You don't have to worry about anything. Go Gaida. Whether it is windows, go Gaida. Front entry door, go Gaida. Patio door, garage door, go Gaida. Whatever you need to improve in your home, I suggest you go Gaida. And here's the good news. To help you get it started, they're going to give you 20% off all windows and doors, and they will let you start the project with no money down and up to 3 years to pay them off interest-free. You heard me. 20% off and the luxury of paying off your project interest-free for up to 36 months. Restrictions apply. Offer is good for a limited time. Do not wait any longer. It's time you finally go Gaida. Call today to schedule a free in-home estimate at 1-877-GO-GAIDA. Now I'm just realizing what Ike said about me cleaning it up. That sounded inappropriate as it was doing it. 1-877-GO-GUIDE or visit them at goguida.com. That's go, G-U-I-D-A.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We will get back to your calls in a moment. Everybody's pissed off about the Sixers. Everybody's pissed off. Nobody more pissed off than me. Wife is out of the country, so I'm watching the game by myself yesterday. Pissed off. Then did a podcast. Even more pissed off. Went to the movies by myself. Saw Civil War. It sucked. Even more pissed off.
Who won? North or South?
Oh, no, it was like California and Texas versus Washington. It was a very weird thing. Yeah. And then I come home.
But the first Civil War.
Yes, first Civil War, the North one.
Yeah, everyone knows.
North won the first. So one of the features we got the draft yesterday, which we've had before, but it seemed like a concerted effort to get all of them yesterday, was we got all the phone calls from Howie and Nick to the draft pick. We got that over the weekend. The one of note that I think we all, obviously the Trot Jr. one was great, but the Jalix Hunt one did have a moment at the very beginning that, in my estimation, will stick with Howie Roseman for a while. Here's how it went. Ah, what a failure over there.
Oh,
put
no.
your name in the show.
No.
Hit the button,
no,
buddy.
No, the stupid freaking.
Oh.
Oh, this is a disaster.
I set it up so
you
well.
You did. No, the freaking thing gets stuck. All right.
All right. That's what she said.
Jalix, what's going on, man? It's Howie.
What's up, big pepper?
We're going to pick you right here, brother. Welcome to Philly. Right, we're excited to get you, man.
Hey, let's go to Philly,
it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Jalix.
Hey, hold on.
Jalix.
Hold on.
You hear me?
I'm going to Philly.
Wow, the house, man.
Jalix, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Everybody hey, loud right now.
Yeah, I hear that. You deserve
hold on,
it.
Hold on.
Hey, congrats, man. Go be with. Go enjoy this moment. I'll talk to you later.
Yes.
Can't wait to get you
I
here.
I got you. Hey, man.
All right.
Hey, coach, I need the playbook ASAP.
All right, we'll get it to you, man.
Nick
we can get
Cigarani.
It to you. All right, baby.
Nick Cigarani.
So two amazing things there. Of course, Jalix Hunt calling Howie Big Pimpin'.
Big Pimpin'.
And Howie's just like, ha ha.
he didn't know how to respond to that.
Did not know. He liked it inside, but he didn't know if he could acknowledge it. And then the Nick Sirianni part.
Yeah.
We've all been on the phone with somebody where it's too noisy where they're there.
Yep.
They're trying to be nice by calling you, but you just want the phone call to end. And just Sirianni, I know Hunt was not being disrespectful, but here is the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. And nobody,
had no clue.
No care in the world. Not a care in the world.
And neither did anybody in the house.
No.
Yeah. Once he was like, yeah, we're going to the Eagles. No, but the Big Pimpin' was a that was classic right there.
All-timer.
What's up, Big Pimpin'?
Jack, that's gotta,
you know he's going to have a good personality.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Let's hope he can play. Yeah, but Jack, does that make it on the drop board, Big Pimpin'?
Yeah, I don't know how to use it yet.
Don't use it when we have Howie on.
I will not.
Can I call him Big Pimpin', though?
Yeah, it would be kind of funny, though. How'd you feel about being called Big Pimpin'?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, you can ask that for sure, yes.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what? That's and now they video all these calls.
Yeah.
Because it's a social media thing.
Yeah.
You know, my call wasn't videoed 25 years ago, 26 years ago, right? So everybody's call doesn't necessarily get video, but now they video everybody's call and then put it on their social media.
You call anyone Big Pimpin' at
no,
the time
I did
when
not.
You got a call?
I did not.
I do like his personality immediately. It made me want to like Jalix Hunt immediately.
Would you agree that he's the only question of the draft that people have? Like, even if people may think what they think about young Jeremiah, the Eagles didn't overdraft Jeremiah.
Hunt is the toolsy, you know, the guy that you think will be good, but also there's not a lot of evidence that he will be.
Yeah. Small schools.
Yep.
You know,
Houston Christian, that's what that was.
Competition wasn't necessarily that great. He would be the one that I would say has, I guess, a high ceiling, but also probably has the
low floor.
The low floor when it comes to possibly not living up to expectations based on where you were drafted.
Yep, absolutely. So what'd you think of the Eagles draft? 215-592-9494. And is it on Embiid or everyone else? Black Gritty, you are on WIP.
Hi, Nolo, Little Pimpin'. How y'all doing? Let me in these streets. So let me talk about being happy first. I saw Jack out there moonwalking last night. We got to sweep you on the Padres. Life is good. The draft, Ike.
Yes.
Howie Roseman got the first pick in the draft two rounds in a row, right? Because when you get the first cornerback off the board, which everybody had him graded, whatever you want to say about that, there was a run on DBs after that, right?
Yep.
Then you get to say two, and boom, like, all this switching and flipping and dipping, he gets the other DB that everybody was DeJohning about, you know what I mean? And then there's another run on cornerback. So at least, whether you like it or not, he got the guys he wanted before the run happened. He wasn't at the end of the line picking the last one. He went up first and got the ones he wanted. Mm-hmm. So on paper, I am super happy. I mean, they got what they wanted. They got what they needed. And then on top of that, let me tell you something. When we talk about teams in the city and Philadelphia, I'm about to find out what Jeffrey Lurie's favorite number is. I'm about to get a custom jersey, put his name on my back. Because shedding a tear when you talk to that young man, it just means everything to me. And I don't care what nobody says. They want to complain about it. We took this young man in the fifth round. He is a legacy kid, and not just a legacy kid where it's like, oh, your dad was an Eagle for 2 weeks. Nah, your dad was here. I used to go get my car washed. He left. He turned it to the Commander's colors. I got mad about it. He came back. I went back to the car wash. I mean, this man is a Philadelphia man, and is now an Eagle. If you can't be happy about that, then you can't be happy about sports. Shut your mammy jammy mouth. And before I get to the Sixers, Jack, Nolo Fritz, you are a man of the people. Hit him with that barking dog. His fight all day. Don't give up. You got the board out there. You lose it. That's right. The violins, I want it all because guess what? His buddy Daryl Morey is softer than me. And if you ever see me, I'm a fat round or a tough man. So when I say that Morey is soft, he is squeezable Charmin. He don't know how to pick nobody, have nobody, hold nobody. I gave my man a key to the city and they traded Morey for what? All we need is some toughness. Thibodeau can't do nothing but turn people into pit bulls, and they out there fighting for it. Is Brunson in the who bodies? I don't even know who these dudes are if they didn't go to Villanova. But guess what? They're hungry and they want it. And I know people laugh when I said Pat Bev was on the team, and he finally was from Philadelphia. I I know that he's not Kobe Bryant. But guess what? He thinks he's Kobe Bryant. And sometimes that's what you need out there. You need a dog. You need a Morse. You need somebody. Daryl Morey has never built anything. And I know
that's wrong, though. But you're wrong.
When did he win a championship? When did he get to the finals?
No. Forget about winning a championship.
No,
it's not the only success, but it's not the only success you can have. And he has built great teams before. He has not won a championship, but he has built great teams. I will do the same thing with you that I did with my father. Before they won the Super Bowl, was Andy Reid a good coach? Was Joe Banner a good executive? Before they won the Super Bowl.
Andy Reid consistently went.
No. I'm asking you a question. Was Andy Reid a good coach before he won a Super Bowl?
Yes, he was.
Okay, so that is not the be all end all of being good at your job is winning a championship. Was Charles Barkley a great player?
Seeing building over time and then sustaining
but
that.
I understand. I understand what, but that. You have to understand, I agree that Morey had, I think the Buddy Hield thing was an absolute miss. 100%, it was a huge screw-up. I think, honestly, trading for James Harden, though he was in a very strange spot, and I don't know what other trades could have been made, was a mistake. However, to say that he's not good at what he does or he doesn't, like all those things are wrong. He could have made mistakes with and also be good at his job. That's my only point.
Wrong all you want to. I'm saying you're wrong. I'm saying he's wrong. I'm saying his assessment on players is wrong. If he didn't have James Harden in his prime, he would have never been nobody.
But he traded for James Harden.
Yes, because that's the only thing he knew. His little best friend. And that didn't work out either. Instead of assessing the league and doing something, he didn't know what he was doing. And then Ike, last thing.
Yes.
I don't want Whale P. He showed up for one playoff game finally. They after getting smoked by the Mavs. He finally had his Whale P game. You're going to bring another old guy, he's
yeah.
going to sixes, overpay him, and it's going to be the same thing. Might as well put him up there and give him Brand's job now.
Well, who are we going to get then?
LeBron.
Okay.
We're going to get LeBron.
No.
Okay.
Yes.
You got, I'm not doing this all summer okay. with you guys and LeBron.
Paul is younger than LeBron, but okay.
He's also one squatta. You know, I mean.
Sure, I'm just saying, though, you're still getting an older player.
Yeah,
the point I'm making.
Yeah, for 2 years.
I'm fine with LeBron.
You are a turncoat.
Well, no, listen, this is all about the city now. This is all about the city now.
If we're going to do the LeBron thing all summer.
Listen, I'm telling you, I would not be opposed to LeBron James.
I would be opposed to LeBron James.
Okay.
You guys are sick. You guys are out of your mind. You think
you
it's
want Toby back?
You think it? No. Okay. You think it's miserable watching this team now? Wait till the LeBron experience. Just wait till that's all I'm telling you is wait till the LeBron experience. Ike in Southwest Philly, you're on WIP.
What's up, y'all?
What up, Ike?
Ain't nothing. First of all, I'm clapping for both of y'all. Thank you both. I know that's horrible for the radio, but thank you both for being sane with y'all takes about the Sixers game.
Oh,
seriously.
Yeah.
I'm just showing appreciation because everybody goes so emotional and don't go emotional and use the head. Let's be real. This is a round and B problem. Like y'all pointed out, that plus minus is telling you everything. Because I remember every time we get a big lead, they put them on the bench, the lead gone within 1 or 2 minutes. That's ridiculous. We have nobody stepping in. And I'm going to disagree with y'all a little bit. Oubre gave him 17, I believe, yesterday.
Yeah, he did. He did.
So,
yeah, he had a night. Yeah, he did. He showed up.
I don't want to shortchange him.
He did.
Or whatever. But he also spending a lot of energy trying to chase Brunson. He ain't doing nothing the last couple games, but he doing it. Toby is – he got to go. I tried to ride with him.
He's gone. Don't worry.
Don't worry. He's gone.
I like him. I think he's a nice guy or whatever. But he's done basketball-wise. And I think Morey – I said this before. I told my friends, I don't understand why you traded Morris and not tried to put Covington in. They was going to cut Morris anyway, so they would have did the same thing with Covington. So I ain't understand why they just didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he ain't gave us anything since he came back. So that whole – and I seen him. He was like a two rows from me on Thursday. Should have went up to him, man. I really wanted to say, man, you better not get that bread to Buddy this year. Like, you got to let him roll straight up.
I don't think they're going to pay Buddy.
I don't think so either. I don't think he's a dummy. And here's the silver lining and for friends of mine. Well, Paul Reed's going to be a free agent now if we lose. So you're going to have more money for people you want. And Ike, what about KD?
instead of
Paul George. Yes,
because they got to do something with that Phoenix team, because you can't do nothing with this new, with these new rules. You can't keep all three of them.
He's going back to Oklahoma City. I would bet you anything.
That's possible, so? But
I would bet you. Yeah.
So last thing I want to say, kudos to Howie, man. You did your thing. Shout out to you. You did everything you could do in here. I'm intrigued by the two receivers we got.
Yeah, like, about yeah.
Because the one dude, I remember, because Florida State used to be my team back with Charlie Ward, so I watched them still.
Johnny Wilson. Yeah, Johnny Wilson.
Johnny Wilson's the 6'6", 235, mm-hmm. runs fast, drops every pass guy.
Yeah. And last thing, Anais Williams. Listen, I watched them too because I lost money. Shout out to you and Jack, FanDuelish. Yep. I lost money on Texas A&M last year, so I've seen them sometimes too. So I like the young boy. I'm real excited. I can't wait for the season. So y'all be easy. Great show as always.
Thank you.
Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the – what's his name? The receiver they took,
Anais Smith.
Anais Smith.
Yeah.
So he's a guy that. So I watched everybody on YouTube afterwards. Of
sure.
course.
Now, tomorrow you do the official.
Tomorrow we'll do my official breakdown of everybody.
Yep.
But the guys that stuck out to me that I liked were Will Shipley and Anais Smith.
Yeah.
And he looks like a player that. Anais looks like a player that we have always wanted, but maybe never had. Just a true slot mm-hmm. receiver. I liked watching him on tape. He seems like he can play.
I do too. Listen, these are good young players, and the good thing about both young wide receivers and Will Shipley is they won't necessarily be counted on heavily this year, right? So they get a chance to come in, even if they're learning behind the receivers that are here. Let's say Paris Campbell is the number three receiver this year. Okay, that you know what? That means Anais Smith and Johnny Wilson don't have to worry about being pressed into that position. You can sort of ease them into the position. We already know Saquon's going to get a ton of touches, so Shipley may get a few plays here and there, but he's not going to be relied upon heavily early unless there's some sort of injury there.
So they have time.
Yes.
They have time. I think that this entire draft, one thing that stuck out to me is that almost everyone they drafted has time.
Now, defensively, they have time, but there's probably more opportunities for those guys that they could get out there and
absolutely.
Play.
Absolutely. Except for Hunt. I we can't really.
Yeah. Yeah. Jalix Hunt.
Yeah. 215-592-9494. Jalix is a cool name.
How many times are we going to call him Jalen?
I'm going to. Jalix is the coolest name that we've had on the Eagles in a long time.
I've never even heard the name before.
No, he said that. So I saw the quote somewhere where. I guess his grandparents are all J's or all his siblings are J's, but his mom liked a perfume called Calyx or something. So she took the J and put it on the front name of the perfume. Whatever, man. Where did names come from?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I have a fake name. What do we – who cares, right? If the name's cool, the name's cool. Sean in Ocean City, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys. I'm a day one Ricky fan, a hardcore Sixers fan. To my eye, it seems like Joel always plays some of his worst games in the playoffs. So I went on a deep dive of his – game logs, playoff, regular season. I defined a bad game as a game where he shoots below 40% or 20 points or less. Can we agree on that?
No, but go ahead.
All right. Well, it's either way. It's still comparing regular season to playoffs.
Sure.
So in 22, he had 6 bad games out of 10, as I just defined them. And in the regular season, he had 12 out of 68. In 23, he had 4 bad games out of 9 when he only had 5 out of 66 in the regular season. He had 3 games in the regular season this year out of 39 games where he shot 40% or worse or less than 20 points. He's got 3 out of 5 in the playoffs this year. He's got 2 fourth quarters where he didn't score a bucket. And if you go through in some of these big games that we could have won these series, up 2-1 against Toronto, he lays an egg. Up 2-1 against Atlanta, he lays an egg. Down 0-1 against Toronto, he lays an egg. Game 7 against Toronto, lays an egg. Game 7 last year. Even game 6 that we won last year, he was bad. It's just over and over again in these games where if he just goes to his regular season average, like not even a heroic effort, we win a lot of these series. So I can't move on to other people. I would rip Maury. I'd rip you, Spike, for giving these Dave Spadaro interviews of Maury once a month.
Time out. First of all, they're not Dave Spadaro. No offense to Dave Spadaro. I know what you're saying. we ask him tough questions and we press him every time we have him on. We actually argue with him. And you can say whatever you want about him, but he goes on a friggin' fan podcast for an hour and lets us berate him about decisions he's made. So that is not, that is absolutely not what's going on. As for your definition of a bad game, I will give you a lot of what has happened in the past. I am talking about this series this year. And this series this year, he has been more than good enough. He's been so good that they cannot exist without him on the court. And I know everyone loves Maxey, and it might be too early for him to be what we need him to be. But at a certain point yesterday in the second half, he's got to be able to score. He's got to wrangle in the offense. He's got to get everyone organized. He didn't do any of it, and they look like chickens with their heads cut off. And truthfully, I don't know what you want Embiid to do in that fourth quarter when there's two, three guys swarming him around every play, and everyone is standing there staring at their shoes, and if they get an open shot, they're missing it. Like, I don't know what you want him to do. Nope, you're going to stop that. I agree with you previously, and if you say you're a day one Ricky listener, you absolutely have heard me criticize him in previous playoffs, especially last year. I don't think he deserves it this year. I just don't. Your big trade deadline acquisition cannot be a guy who can't get on the court. It just can't be. Daryl cannot say that Buddy Hield was the best player to be traded at the trade deadline and then have him not be able to play. To all of our eyes, he's not even playable. If Tyrese Maxey is good enough to be a number two on a title team, then he has to be able to organize an offense for 5 minutes a half when Embiid is not on the floor. Tobias Harris is like a weight around all of their ankles. So I agree with you previously. I just don't think it works for this year. I don't think the things that you are saying are true of this year.
Okay.
All right.
Ooh, boy.
No offense to Spuds. I feel like Spuds caught a stray there.
He did catch a stray, man. Spuds has been quiet all offseason. What did he do?
Well, I think he's saying.
No, I know what he's saying.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm just saying.
It's not true.
Spuds is out of the way, man.
It's not true. Hi, John. Hi, Mark. Do you have that one there?
John. Hey, Mark. How you doing?
That's a great one right there.
I think generally that Daryl Morey is one of the best at what he does in his job. I also think that this was a tough situation. I also think he failed this year. All of those things can be true.
Where do we get the best at his job at? Where have the Sixers benefited from that?
Well, I think if I am making the case for him here, mm-hmm. is that when he walked into this team, they had 110. First of all, half their draft picks were gone because of previous screw-ups. He walked into a team that had $108 million committed to Al Horford, Ben Simmons, and Tobias Harris. Mm-hmm. The cap is $120. You basically have the entire cap on a guy you have to trade in Horford, a guy who is eventually not even going to play anymore in Ben Simmons, mm-hmm. and a guy who's a complete waste of salary in Tobias Harris. And you are locked into – and by the way, he was locked into a coach that he did not hire – didn't hire Doc Rivers. Mm-hmm. So I think he was in a tough situation. You also had a guy in Simmons. Now, you could talk about Halliburton. I don't know if Halliburton was on the table or if it wasn't on the table. But at the time, the Harden trade looked good. It was a mistake. Mm-hmm. Re-signing him was a mistake. Bringing him back was a mistake. I have told Daryl this off air and told him this on air. I think that James Harden is a loser, but to a certain extent, when you are looking for a co-star at a championship level, you sort of have to take what's there. And we all just keep talking about that Joel Embiid only has this many years of his prime left. We have mm-hmm. to capitalize. And if he's the guy that's available, sometimes you just got to take a chance. I don't think he's been perfect, and I think he's failed this year, but I still trust him in terms of who is in charge of the organization.
Yeah, I just don't see where the Sixers, the level of his sort of imprint on the team has increased or enhanced their chances of winning a championship. They haven't gotten any closer to winning a title since he's been here. That's all I'm saying. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he's been completely terrible. I'm not going down that road, because I don't think everything he's done has been wrong or poorly, and he did have some things he needed to clean up. I just don't see where he's put his imprint on the team and now we're in a better situation. Like, he had a chance this year with the Harden trade and then moves he decided to make at the trade deadline, and I don't think it necessarily made the team better.
The excuse,
and that's coming off of P.J. Tucker and James Harden.
The excuse I will make for him at the deadline, though, again.
And Paul Reed.
If I like Paul Reed.
Well, his contract's voided, so.
If they lose.
Yeah, well, that's
hold on, what is that?
So it's not voided. His contract is only guaranteed for year two if they get past the first round. It was a very weird thing that Danny Ainge signed him to. So the offer sheet that Danny Ainge and Utah signed Paul Reed to is that it was a 2 years guaranteed only if they get past the first round of the playoffs in year one. So it becomes an unguaranteed contract, which is actually really valuable because it means you can trade it, but the next team doesn't have to pay it.
So are we rooting for the Knicks?
No, stop it.
We're not rooting for the Knicks, but there is a silver lining.
We're
there.
Stopping it with the Paul Reed stuff. No.
That's part of the reason why Embiid has to play as much as he does.
I actually don't think it is.
Well, Paul Reed stinks.
No, because, okay, all we need to do is think about the best players in NBA history and who their backups were.
We didn't have to have Paul Reed. Like, we didn't have to have him. We could have had Andre Drummond. Hell, I'd take Dwight Howard right now.
Andre Drummond sucks. Dwight Howard?
Yeah.
No, that's a whole other thing. We're not doing that.
It's called a big dose of D.
All right. Today's Twitter poll brought to you by Mark's Jewelers.
I didn't ask for that.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Shout the home team at Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. For mom, online at marks-jewelers.com. The poll question, which is more true? The Sixers have failed Joel Embiid, or Joel Embiid has failed the Sixers? Ike, what is your guess on the percentages so far?
Well, it's the day after a loss.
Yes.
I don't think many people are necessarily feeling sorry for Joel Embiid today.
Yep.
So I would say it's slightly in his favor. I mean, in the favor of Joel Embiid being blamed. Let me go 55 to 60%.
Stunning. 68% say the Sixers have failed Embiid.
Ooh.
It's not what I expected either. Now, any goodwill that Joel Embiid may have been taken away by his comments after the game. He did have some things to say about the fans, about the New York fan takeover. We will hear what he had to say and talk about it next on the afternoon show on WIP with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.